Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
Ladies and gentlemen, I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
It's In This League.
Here.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Come again?
With Scott Bogman and Chris Welch.
Can't wait.
What does that do? Does that blow your mind?
That just happened.
That's right, baby. Welcome back. It is the final hour of In This League on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Were you listening live? Yeah, you listening? Good for you. If you missed any of it, you can go back and listen because we do 3 hours every single week right here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to it on demand if you missed it. You can go to Spotify or iTunes, and you can catch us throughout the live show on TuneIn or iHeartRadio, the app. There's a lot of ways to listen, and I highly suggest you go check out all the other content we have going on within this league. You search In This League, you will find we have a football podcast, which we just did, and we just released a brand new one with the rookie ranks. We broke down all of our rookie ranks. That was, I mean, God, dude, like, I know it's May. Like, we kind of do everything. We've been doing, we do a football show for Fantrax with Joe Pizzapia. So we've been talking football. But, like, you get Bogman and I and just get us in, like, our mode of In This League, and we went an hour and a half. You know, we try to keep the episodes at an hour. We went an hour and a half talking, you know, breaking down the running backs, their dynasty, and their redraft value. I mean,
We have too much to get off our chest. Too much to say.
Too healthy,
Lois. Doctor says I'm too healthy.
So
you didn't go to the doctor, did you, Peter?
I did not. So, I mean, you can go right now. You can catch a brand new episode of the In This League Fantasy Football Podcast. We do the baseball twice a week. I just did an episode of Prospect One, which is my full-on prospect podcast, which I had an episode with Eddie Almaguer from Baseball Prospectus and Fake Teams. So, I mean, we're just kind of popping off all over the place with tons and tons of shows. So you can go to InThisLeague.com. You can check out. We got some swag if you guys want to, you know, rock some In This League stuff. You can see all the shows.
Why did you sound like Anders when you said that?
Swag. You know why? Because I say, like, swag, and I have to, like, enunciate swag.
Swag.
Yeah, I got to really enunciate. And then, of
I don't
course,
know why I hit people with the karate chop. I don't know what swag is. I just say it because the younger people are saying it in the office.
And then lastly, of course, my friends, you can go check us out over at the ITL Army, patreon.com/ITL Army, if you want to, you know, be in part of all the madness that we got, from ranks to group me rooms to secret shows. All of that stuff is there. Bogman, we got a lot to talk about here. I'm going to open it up for you.
Yes, we do.
But I'm going to open it up here for you because there's a couple things we can go. We've got some more baseball notes, but I know we want to talk about this hour because it was a weird outing. You want to talk about Matt Harvey right now?
Yeah, we can talk about Matt Harvey.
Matt Harvey in his first game.
Why did he get sexy boy? So this needs to be addressed. Matt Harvey.
Dear the Dark Knight. Oh, the Dark Knight in Cincinnati. This is not Gotham. This is more like Smallville.
You got to get him a more Cincinnati voice. What would a Cincinnati voice be for him?
Rabble, 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 rabble. Put food in my mouth, which I don't have. I got some water.
Oh, man. Are you saying that they have to make the seats extra wide in Cincinnati because all the people are so fat?
You said it for me.
Like they're my size?
I mean, well, do you think that's true?
No, I feel like, you know, it's why there's more fat people on the East Coast and more sports heavy people. Well, just because the food is better and the sports are better and there's not as much to do. You know, when it's 70 degrees every single day in San Diego, like, people are going to find stuff to do besides go to the baseball game. But when it's, you know, 11 degrees in Cleveland, I'm going to sit at home and watch the Tribe. You know, I'm not going to go out and do stuff. It's too cold.
I couldn't be more excited just overall for what Matt Harvey is going to be experiencing in Cincinnati. So here's the deal. You know about the trade. He looks all super happy in his interviews. There's some weird stuff I want to talk about, but let's first talk about his line in his first game. Only threw 55 pitches, went four innings, gave up one hit, struck out two, and even hit 96 on the radar. What did he just need Skyline Chili?
This makes me look foolish too, because like I said on the show, I didn't think that Matt Harvey was going to start immediately for the Reds. They optioned Brandon Finnegan, which, you know, cut my losses there. So I was hoping Brandon Finnegan was going to be a thing because he was so good in the College World Series, and then the actual World Series the next year. Just seems like that shoulder injury effed him up too much. He's not going to be in any good for a while. So he's gone. In comes Matt Harvey, and they just throw him out on Friday. I was kind of surprised at that attitude. I figured that with a guy like this who's
– What do you mean, Bogman? What do you think, like, the Dark Knight can't pitch on a Friday night?
I just think you've kind of been fragile. You're very upset at the media, Matt Harvey, and got this trade finally pushed through that you wanted. I figured maybe they give you a little bit of time to relax, but no, just put feet right in the fire. Let's go.
I think it was last week or the week before. I think it was last week. We put a poll out: who is the most unlikable? And I didn't need to say who's the most unlikable player. We gave you your choices, and it was Trevor Bauer or Matt Harvey. Matt Harvey won resoundingly, like almost 70% of the most unlikable. And he goes to Cincinnati, where the Reds fans are going to embrace him. You know, he's around a fan favorite in Joey Votto. And at the end of the day, results are always the thing that are going to speak. But this whole thing just didn't go away, obviously. It's not going to be something that way. I mean, of course, they didn't get him pitching against the Mets. But he said that he does not want to talk about his time with the Mets. What are you talking about?
What are you talking about, you idiot?
That's all that you have. So you're saying I don't want to talk about the past. Okay.
He's Mark McGwire. I'm not here to talk about the past. I'm here to talk about the future.
Well, that's all.
You know what this reminded me of? What's that Jim Carrey movie with
Ventura.
I want to call it Memento, but I know that's not it. Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind.
Love that movie. Oh yeah, he wants to go to a place, and he wants Kirsten Dunst there, and he and Claire Danes. I think Claire Danes is in.
Is
that.
It Claire or, Danes?
No,
yeah, it's not Kirsten Dunst.
Blanchett, maybe.
Nope.
Claire Danes.
Nope. Yeah, it's Claire.
It's Claire Danes. Who's the one in Homeland?
That's Claire Danes. So who is this one?
It's not. Hold on, now I gotta look because
I'm looking it up right
Eternal
now.
Eternal Sunshine.
God, what is her name? I can see her face.
I know. I confuse these two. I always confuse Claire Danes and
why is it
Kate
not
Winslet?
Up?
Kate Winslet.
Kate Winslet. Yeah, not Kate Blanchett. Yeah.
Kate Winslet and Claire Danes. I confuse 100% of the time.
Can I just tell you something real quick? That there's a porn star definitely named Claire Danes that looks
Claire
a lot
Danes?
Like Claire Danes. Yeah,
I like that. I mean, yeah, I really
a little
like
thicker,
that.
But yeah.
Yeah, yeah, I know. I know exactly what you're talking about. I'm not a rookie. I know
right. How dare I?
But Matt Harvey, he doesn't want to talk about it. So of course, that's all anyone wants to talk about. And I think the popular fun thing is to see what a douche he is and how unlikable he is. So this came out. I guess it's via John Heyman. I saw it on Barstool Sports Starting 9, and it's a tweet. It goes, there's a funny story about Harvey. With him struggling on the mound, but a day off coming, he once asked Terry Collins to stay behind for a night in Miami. And when he rejoined the team the next day, he bragged in the clubhouse nonstop about his exploits the night before with some beautiful women. Well, one veteran Met, tiring of his lack of focus and his emphasis on extracurriculars, shot across the clubhouse saying something of the effect of, "That's great, Matt, but has she seen you pitch?" Love it.
Oh, I love it.
Love it. I love to hate Matt Harvey. I don't think there's anything he can do to make me like him.
I think he can. He hasn't beaten his wife or anything like of that nature. So I think that if he becomes super focused and becomes a big time pitcher again and, maybe does some charity type of stuff. Like I'm I'm willing to give people second chances for sure.
Right. But I imagine Matt Harvey's charities are going to be like topless car washes.
He's like, I slept with a four last night. Isn't that some charity? You know.
I got to a 10, but it was two threes and a four. You know what I mean? That's charity.
I think
work.
That's some charity right there.
Does he talk like that? Why do we talk?
I don't know why. He kind of has that face where he seems like he might be stupid. So
it's not his face only. But yeah.
So I don't know. Like, I think that there is, he's young enough to where there's time for him to. I feel like, you know, there's all kinds of these guys, though, where you kind of don't know what's going on. Like, I didn't think David Price was a dickbag until a couple years ago when he started getting on the media about stuff all the time and being a crybaby. It was really for Twitter.
I don't know if he's so much a D, because I think he has some endearing stuff to him. He's just one of those guys. You know, through my time of spent a lot of time on backfields, being around players in weird places and stuff like that, that like you
like
see
showers?
not like that, but like what you notice is
at
like
the glory hole.
There are guys that have no redeeming factors, you know, they're just a-holes to everybody. They're not liked by their teammates. Then there's guys that are kind of like, they're kind of just, they're all business kind of a-holes. Then there's, you know, the super super nice guy, but there's also this medium guy that can be a friend to everybody, but then he picks the things he doesn't like, and that's kind of that media thing. Like, they can be approachable in normal settings, but then you go and get them. Like, I'll just tell you right now, I think,
like, Nick, if you got a microphone, I hate you.
Like,
it's one of those.
Yeah. Like, Nick Senzel might be one of those guys. That's like a rookie. Like, from what I've seen,
I heard
with him,
that he doesn't like autographs.
He doesn't like the people. He doesn't like anybody. He's not a. Multiple interactions I saw of him, like, he won't endear himself to the fans that are there, but he also turns it on. He really turns it on when he can turn it on. And there are guys like that that will do that with the media. And that was kind of more David Price. Like, Matt Harvey, there is not a redeeming factor anywhere.
I guess what I'm saying is the redeeming factor is he hasn't done anything horrific. He's been a jerk.
I'll buy that.
He's been bad at his job. He has been unprofessional.
He's the Terrell Owens of baseball, except not a Hall of Famer.
Yeah, he hasn't crossed any lines where I'm like, I got to put this guy away and never like him again. So I think there's something he could possibly do to move forward. And like, if he just took his job seriously from this point on and we didn't hear about these, you know.
You think Cincinnati's the thing that makes that happen?
Well, I think getting traded from the Mets to Cincinnati for Devin Mesoraco is the thing that does that. So, by the way, how happy were you that some team wanted Devin Mesoraco and he hit a homer yesterday?
It's pretty good. Pretty good. I mean, I'm not going to lie. Like, I get attached to Mesoraco and Zanino. So whenever they do something, like, it's a win. I'm going to take that.
Well, luckily, I get attached to Billy Burns, but in 2 months, no one will remember him, so
no.
I won't be attached to him anymore.
So is Matt Harvey back?
That was.
Is Matt Harvey back
to
you?
No, he's not back. He had a good first start for the Reds. I want to see him buckle down. I'm not going to sit here and call him back after one good start. No way.
Would you pick him up?
Can't do it. Not yet. No.
And a 16-man.
16-man, I would, especially if I had Brandon Finnegan like I did in a couple
spots. No chance in a 12-man.
No. I can't see it. No.
What if what if he gets? I'm kind of surprised.
I want to see a quality start.
Yeah, I mean,
show me a quality start.
The 55 pitch thing. I wonder what that was about, because he only went four innings. He gave up a hit, but like, get him one more inning. Get him the qualified.
Well, that's another thing.
Start.
Like, 55 pitches. Like, why would you even bother throwing him out there?
Yeah, you know? Dude, 100% agree.
That's
like,
why I thought he wasn't going to start very soon.
Well, also like the mentality of like a dude that obviously is a little bit of a baby, like. Just one more inning, he could have qualified for the win, which, you know, when he was in, it was 5-0.
I hope he complains about it.
Oh, that's all I want in the world.
Don't you want him to complain about it? Let's hear it. Let's
all
go.
I want in the world. Let's go. Let's go. Let's go, Matt Harvey. Let's be more of a douche. So I thought it was fascinating. So I think the next start is going to be the big one, but I think there are people that are going to jump on this. You give up one hit, you start throwing that mid-90s again with just a couple strikeouts. People are going to feel that resurgence. And that was kind of what I was talking about with that whole sell thing. Like, if these guys start talking themselves into a few wins, you never know what's going to happen. But, I mean, this is going to kill Matt Harvey, though, right? Well, no, you know what? Never mind. I was about to tell you, Bogman, that Matt Harvey is going to be miserable as this team is going to just break records with their losses. But he's not a team player. He doesn't care about his team. He doesn't care about his team. He cares about the club. He cares about what city they're traveling to and if he can stay overnight. He doesn't care about it. Yeah, 100%. Why would I even think that? He's not going to care about 1 minute of this.
Yeah, at this point, Matt Harvey is still all concerned about Matt Harvey, and that's all that matters.
Couldn't be more opposite to have Matt Harvey and Joey Votto together.
No, no. Joey Votto, that's a dude that works at his craft. Joey Votto might be a jerk, too. Sometimes I think
wasn't to me.
Sometimes he's a funny jerk.
Yeah. Remember that story in spring training where he got off the field practicing a little bit earlier than everybody else. It was around 10 and he kind of disappeared. Then around like 11:15, he showed back up and he was on a private field. So I was like, oh, they must be working on stuff. He was working on stuff, but what ended up happening, he stayed past anybody. The only guys that were left were like five of the young infielders that were on one field, and Joey Votto's on a field, and he was working with this young kid, and he worked with him for over an hour at first base. When he was done, he kind of sat there, he talked to the kid some more. I mean, he gave him all of his time, and then he went and he signed, you know, 20 autographs for people, and he had pleasant demeanor and everything like that. And I was like, wow, you know, I mean, he definitely has that kind of like mentality of like, oh boy, I don't know, Joey Votto could do anything. But, I mean, I can't ever imagine Matt Harvey staying back to help anybody unless it was, like, into his, you know, room.
A 10, right.
Yeah, exactly. It was a 10. It wouldn't be, you know, some, like, 18-year-old kid or something like that.
He's like
working
Ernie
on a side
McCracken
field.
From Kingpin.
Like. Exactly. It's a perfect example about that. And, you know, maybe Matt Harvey's going to have that rubber hand soon. He's been throwing like it. Except this last one. All right. Don't go anywhere. We'll be back in just a minute. We got more baseball. Might get to some. I don't know what the hell we're going to get to, so you're going to just have to stay tuned. Dude, the hell knows what's even going on. That's Bogman. I'm the Welsh. Go find us at InThisLeague.com. Go get a Prospect One hat. Go get a shirt. Go do something. Take a picture with it. Tweet us. Is it the Welsh? Bogman Sports.
Yeah.
Let's go to break.
If you're playing daily fantasy basketball on DraftKings or FanDuel this NBA season, you need to sign up for Daily Roto. Built by a team featuring millionaire maker winners and live final champions, Daily Roto's customizable projections, podcasts, strategy guides, and lineup optimizer will help you compete with the pros in a fraction of the time. Better yet, you can save 10% off using the promo code FNTSY. So go to dailyroto.com/premium to learn more about their product.
It's not what you did, son, that angers me, son. It's who you did it to.
Who? Nobody?
That nobody.
ITL.
Welcome back. It's In This League right here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Let's call Chris Pavona. Let's have him make a Kingpin rejoin for us right now.
We need it. Yeah, maybe he could just do it live. Let's play some music under it. What's that?
What line from that movie would you want for a rejoin? I feel like I would want, because we're talking about Ernie McCracken, I feel like I would want the one where he is like, I finally have enough money to buy my way out of anything. When he wins the tournament at the end, spoiler alert, if you haven't seen Kingpin, it's from 1997 or whatever.
I have not seen that movie for so long, I probably couldn't name a single line in it. I couldn't think of like one, like I see all the moments, you know, Bill
the
Murray
Randy
with
Quaid
the hair
moments
up.
Are pretty good.
Yeah.
You know.
Who's that chick in that?
Yeah, I don't know. She didn't do like anything else.
Anything else?
Hot.
That was it. But like, yeah, who was that?
Yeah, maybe look that one up. Yeah. You know,
should I look it up
that
right
that
now?
Remember when she goes into the freezer to get the beer? Yeah. She comes out, and then Randy Quaid does the same thing.
I just had this
dinner plate nipples.
her name is Vanessa Angel. Claudia.
Vanessa Angel.
Yeah.
Type that into Pornhub. I guarantee you someone else named Vanessa Angel comes up.
I wonder what she did.
Russian.
But by the way, when you did that.
Does every Russian porn star have Angel as their last name?
I don't know. Or a Kalichka at the end. I did like that you were like, so remember that time? Like I had this flash of like Chris Farley on Saturday Night Live being like, remember that time that you were in the Beatles? It's awesome. Like, he was doing the Chris Farley show on there. That is all that I felt.
Stupid question.
By the way, very depressing thing to do is when you type in a movie.
I don't like it.
And you type in the cast, and then Google will immediately have a scroll of them. They use kind of like current pictures. And,
oh, no.
I mean, Randy Quaid could not be a bigger house than he is in this picture.
I thought you were going to say Vanessa Angel is not.
No, she looks good.
Well.
She looks like she's talking on a TED Talk in the picture that's on here.
I see her. Yeah, she looks great.
Yeah,
she does.
Yeah, she's really good. What else? you scroll through the pictures. Yeah, why did she not have a career?
She's just way too smart.
I'm on her IMDb, so let's see. She was in the, or is that a sponsor? That's just a sponsored thing. Oh, some of these movies. Okay, hold on. So now this is a thing, by the way. She was born in London. Okay. She was in Super Babies, Baby Geniuses 2.
What the hell?
Oh, Stop or My Mom Will Shoot. Remember that?
I remember that. Yeah.
She is in a new movie coming out called Hustle Down. Let's see if I remember anything else. Oh, she was in an episode of Californication. What episode was that?
Was she really?
Yeah. Huh. I love Californication.
I just, do you remember the final line of that? Goodbye, Brother Munson.
Yeah.
Goodbye, whore.
Yep.
Funny.
She did an episode of Entourage, which I think she played herself.
Okay.
Is there anything of note here? Man, she did some really bad stuff. She was on Stargate SG-1. I mean, her career.
I see her in Stargate on these pictures here. She's wearing a crazy outfit.
She really kind of petered out when 2000 hit. Like an episode of Murder She Wrote, Melrose Place. I mean, this is some garbage. And then she had Kingpin.
I love that part when they were in like the rural farm area, like hustling the bowlers, and she's like standing in front of the vent and her skirt's blown up and they don't give a crap.
Yep.
And then Randy Quaid brings out the sheep and then they're all distracted by the sheep. The movie's so fun, dude.
We'll do a live watch.
That's a great movie. I'm
telling you, that's what we need. We need a Twitch account, not to play video games, but to just watch old movies and just
live
like,
watch
it.
Kingpin.
And Bogman, you drink and you get like Chris Farley and you're like, remember that part? Aha. Uh-huh. It's a great part.
Remember that part that just happened and what we're watching?
such a good part. All right, it's on you.
Well, Alex Reyes is starting to pitch in the minors, and Craig Mish thinks that he is going to be in the rotation by the end of the month for the Cardinals. You've always been a gigantic Alex Reyes proponent, and he is one of those guys. I don't know how you would qualify post-hype minor league sleepers. Right, I think Gleyber Torres is doing it this year.
Well, it's not about
post hype
though; it's because he had Tommy John.
Well, I understand that it's not post hype, but the hype cools way down on these guys. I mean, Gleyber Torres was the number one prospect going into last year. He had Tommy John, and then he wound up down in like the 10-ish range. And I think Alex Reyes is doing that. You know, obviously, guys coming off of Tommy John surgery lose more control than most other type of guys. But what do you think about him in this recovery so quickly that he's just going to wind up immediately into the rotation at the end of this month? Do you buy that? So
yeah, I think that's the plan. I mean, Alex Reyes before the Tommy John surgery, from my prospect ranks, he was a number one fantasy pitcher, and rightfully so. He was a top 10 guy, and very rarely do you put a rookie, you know, starting pitcher in a fantasy top 10. He's just that good. The Tommy John set him back. I'm very, very weary of guys coming back post-Tommy John. But one of the things the Cardinals kind of they went back and forth about was like they thought that they could potentially push Alex Reyes early if they went to the bullpen. And he doesn't want to do that. And I don't think they want to do that. He's not like from a limit inning standpoint, you're going to start in June. You're not going to hit anything crazy. It's just going to be, what are the ramifications coming off of this injury? You know, the Dodgers really played it safe with Walker Buehler, even though he was dominating. So I do buy that they're going to start him. I could see them midway or, you know, towards the back end of the season pushing him to a bullpen role because they don't want to overwork him, especially if results are a little bit wonky. But, you know, his stuff looked good. You know, Mish tweeted out some stuff. He was you know, he was zipping, popping, you know, mid-high 90s, doing what he does. I don't think they're going to throw him out there unless he is completely ready and recovered. And he has had a long – I mean, this has been – I think we're on like 15 months, man. I mean, he had this Tommy John injury before the season started last year. So we're talking a 15-month recovery time. I'm in, especially that he's coming back this late in the season. I think they're going to give him every shot, and he is a pickup.
And, you know, Wainwright has been terrible, and Luke Weaver has been really bad, too.
Yeah, they got Waka. I mean, they dealt with a lot of stuff. But these young guys, this is the, you know, Jack Flaherty, he's been a dude. He's been a guy they need to get in the rotation. I wouldn't be shocked, even though you're bringing up a good point, that the rotation has been kind of trash. They do have the young guys. I almost need to look at the rotation. I wonder if they would consider, because of some of the struggles and injuries, going to a six-man rotation.
You know what? It's not a horrible idea, and I think it's something that's probably going to catch on very soon here because of the amount of injuries that have been happening to starting pitchers. This year doesn't seem as bad as it was last season. I remember it just seemed like somebody was having TJ every other week last year.
Yeah. I got to tell you, I'm looking at this. I think this is a great move because think about this. You've already had Wainwright on the DL. Wasn't there something with Mikolas?
Wainwright is coming back tomorrow.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I think you had something. I thought you had something with Mikolas early. Carlos Martinez just hit the DL. Luke Weaver has struggled. And then you get Alex Reyes back. Why not push that thing to a six-man rotation? Give everybody a little extra day off. If you want, maybe Carlos Martinez and Waka, they don't get moved. You know, they don't have any type of movement in the rotation. And then you kind of get guys like Wainwright, Mikolas, Weaver, and Reyes in a six-man. I mean, they've had some bullpen issues with Holland and, you know, all these guys. I mean, maybe that's just a less of a strain on the bullpen and the rotation if they do that. I like it.
And they have options, too, because, I mean, like, Carlos Martinez is going to miss a little bit. And, you know, we said this before, his numbers were already kind of down from where they had been in previous seasons. But he has a lat strain, and the lat strain, oblique strain, however you want to phrase it, that stuff tends to linger in pitchers a little bit longer than it normally would in a position player. So we have that we're dealing with. Adam Wainwright is going to be on and off the disabled list the whole year. He's had that elbow inflammation and problems. Luke Weaver has been trash. And Austin Gomber, didn't Austin Gomber strike out like 16 in a minor league start
the
other day?
I think it was like 18. He was
ridiculous.
Let me throw one other thing out to you. They don't have the number one guy for your pitchers, Yadier Molina. He's out for a while. Maybe you want to kind of, you know, have those six guys to move around a little bit more.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, I think it's a great idea, the Welsh. I think that you should probably call up the Reds and let them know about that.
Maybe the Cardinals, not the Reds. But
yeah, or I was thinking of Nick Kroll still.
Oh, okay. So, well, the Cardinals probably already hacked into my computer and know about this.
Are you HoustonAstros@gmail.com?
Yeah, exactly. Password is password one. That's
try guest. Oh yeah. My God, did that actually work? I can't believe that. What about Ohtani mania? Is that over with? Like, he's only had three starts since April 8th. He's only had two bombs since April 6th. I mean, the one he hit two nights ago was majestic. It was up on to the. It was into the bullpen, but kind of like halfway up the rocks in the outfield, that little rock thing that they have going on in Anaheim. And he pimped it too. And Mike Trout was giving him crap for pimping it. But I mean, the batting average is still there, but the three starts because of the ankle turn. I don't know. I haven't seen a lot of Twitter stuff on Ohtani, or we haven't been getting questions in the ball bag about Ohtani. Is Ohtani mania kind of over with?
I don't think it is. I mean, I think the like uncontrollable hype that everyone's dealing with, I think that's maybe a little bit over. But no, man, I mean, did you see that Byron Buxton was making a comment on Ohtani because he hit that bomb, and he was like, he was just stunned at what Ohtani was doing and how, you know, he can throw 99-100 while also maintaining such an offensive, you know, output. Because I guess Buxton in high school was a pitcher, and he like hit 99 twice, but he said he despised pitching. I think he's very revered, and, you know, we are in May, and outside of the injury, he
He's still just doing it. He's still hitting his bombs. I think they need to get the he needs to get back into a rhythm. And I think this is a guy that's going to be all about the rhythm.
Well, you feel the rhythm, feel the rhyme, get on up. It's bobsled time. Cool running.
Thank you.
I just had to put that in there. But yeah, I mean, I think you're right, and I think that it's going to come in waves with him, right? So it's going to be right now. Otani mania is
right
kind of in
here,
a lull.
Right now.
Boom. See, there you go. Right here, right now. Absolutely. See, we got all the old school references
Look
tonight.
At that.
So anyway, I think it's going to come in waves for Otani. This moment. He is this magic moment.
Jesus Christ, dude.
This magic moment, the Welsh. He is kind of in that lull where, yeah, he's hitting, but he hasn't been pitching like, you know, just he's not getting the starts. It's not that he's pitching terribly. He just hasn't been getting the starts because of the ankle. And he is going to have a 13 strikeout game and hit a bomb in a week, and people are going to lose their minds again.
What I'm waiting for is for the Angels to finally pull the trigger on him pitching, and because he hasn't correct me if I'm wrong here, he doesn't hit when he pitches.
No, he doesn't.
That's what I want to see. I want to see a day where he's pitching and hitting, and he hits a homer and strikes out 10. Then the world implodes on itself.
When they play in the NL, that's going to happen. Ooh, you know, they play in the NL and he's pitching, that's going to happen. But until they do that, he's still been getting the day off, I think, before and after his starts too, but he's only had the three starts, so I can't really remember. What about this? What about Evan Longoria saying that the Rays might be better off leaving Tampa Bay? Is that like a jilted lover type of stuff, or do you think he's being serious?
I think he's being serious. Nobody goes to the games. I think that he's not saying anything anyone doesn't know. The only thing that is making news about it is because, you know, he's one of the more popular Tampa Bay Rays.
He's the Tampa Rays, dude. Like, he's
but nobody
the
goes
guy.
To the game. Nobody goes to those. It is the biggest waste. We hear so much crap out here in Phoenix about how, you know, we've got a 40-something thousand stadium. How many does it hold?
Yeah, it can, like 48,000.
48,000. And we get, like, 14,000. And then you do that for 2 weeks, and sports talk radio just loses its mind about what bad fans Phoenix fans are, you know, in Arizona, and they're all transplants and this, that, and the other thing. Imagine being in Florida where 1,000 people show up to games. I mean, the Rays are a little bit different, but I don't think what the Rays are putting out on the field is that much different what the Marlins are. Nobody goes to the games. I absolutely agree. Why does Florida need those teams when no one goes there? Go. I mean, I'm not for, you know, we got to put teams in London and all this stuff, but you know what? Like,
I mean, Montreal, you know, I don't think they're going to build them a stadium, but
go get Mexico a team. I don't care. People go every single day. It'll be wild. I just need
put it in Puerto Rico.
Yeah, sure. Do it. Please put it in Puerto Rico. Put it in Mexico. You will sell the crap out of every single game for years upon years. That ain't happening in Tampa Bay. That ain't happening in Miami.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's probably justified. I don't know. I feel a little disappointed that someone who gave so much to that team in that city would say something like that the first year he's out. I don't know. I thought
who
I
asked him about that? Who's
I'm
like,
I'm not sure.
What do you
sure.
think about the Rays? He's like, get him out.
Get him out of there. I to be honest, I don't know who asked it. It's just a quote that's been floating around all over the internet. So speaking of the internet, Chip Carey called Shane Carl Hot Carl, and the internet is enjoying it very much.
Yeah, I mean, Hot Carl, that's good. I would have liked
you don't know what Hot Carl is.
I don't.
Why don't you go and look, and do not repeat it into the microphone, but why don't you go on our place, Urban Dictionary, and check out Hot Carl with a K.
I was about to say, it comes up here first. A Hot Carl
no,
is an
no,
act
don't
of,
read it. Don't read it. Don't read it. Don't read it.
Don't read it. D on someone.
Yeah.
A warm Carl.
Whoa, I don't even know what that is.
Yep.
I don't want to hear it.
And then there's a cold Carl.
How is there a cold Carl?
There's a cold Carl.
How is that physically possible?
Well, there's a warm Carl, a cold Carl,
and a hot Carl?
Oh, yeah, and there's the hot Carl at the top. And then there's a thing here that says, Susie preferred warm Carls. And then it's a whole, like, breakdown of it. So
oh,
type that in. I didn't know what that is. I was thinking we were going Aqua Teen Hunger Force.
You know? Like Carl.
Hey,
like,
Fryman.
What are you doing here, seeing how I didn't invite you and I don't like you?
Yeah. Yeah. Yours actually went a little, what was the dog? The dog with the cigar.
The dog with the cigar. Oh, the Triumph, the insult comic dog?
Yeah, you were a little Triumph there.
For me to poop on.
Yeah. Well, speaking of hot, Carl. So you can go read about that. I'll tell you about the warm Carl and the cold Carl. Ugh. On the break. How about that? I'll tell you on the break so we don't have to disturb everybody. But when we come back, we're going to be talking about, we'll probably do maybe a little bit of basketball, a little bit of football, a little combo, a little combo meal, a little hot basketball, a little cold football. We'll break all that stuff down. It's the final segment of In This League. Bogman's losing it. We are losing Bogman just very heavily. And I am The Welsh. You can find me on Twitter at IsItTheWelsh. Find him on Twitter at Bogman Sports. Go to InThisLeague.com. Check out all the wild and crazy stuff. Maybe we'll have to have a whole Urban Dictionary section on there just for the hot terms that people need to know, because I had no idea. Oh, thank God I know now. It's a hot Carl.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Thanks. We'll be back.
If you're playing daily fantasy basketball on DraftKings or FanDuel this NBA season, you need to sign up for Daily Roto. Built by a team featuring millionaire maker winners and live final champions, Daily Roto's customizable projections, podcasts, strategy guides, and lineup optimizer will help you compete with the pros in a fraction of the time. Better yet, you can save 10% off using the promo code FNTSY. So go to dailyroto.com/premium to learn more about their product.
In This League.
I thought we were going to be just friends.
What? Friends is in the...
In This League.
In the dark.
Don't go search that. Don't do it. I'm not going to even say what it was.
I don't think you can. You owe me $100.
Yeah. Well, if I really explained it, especially the second definition. What a show, man. We, first hour, talked about... Video games. And what are they called? Esports?
Esports, yeah.
Can you believe the money these guys are making now, too?
I can't believe they make any money.
They did a draft. Did you see that? They did a like a Madden draft, and there's like a league, and they drafted players.
They drafted...
Like guys that play the video games. Yeah.
Well, I mean, anything can be a fantasy draft, so...
That's true. We always like to play around with that. We got, you know... Little adult actress fantasy draft.
That's right.
Don't know the scoring system though. What's a hot Carl get? What's a hot Carl score?
Oh man, negative points. Negative.
Oh, it's negative points. Oh, okay. Yeah. So it's like a
blown save,
it's like a fumble,
right?
Like a fumble on the glass.
Yeah, it is.
Okay, I'm just checking. That's what we've been talking about. Talk about Matt Harvey. So definitely an interesting show.
We didn't talk about the Rockets. Houston Rockets.
Nothing worse. How
4-1 over the Wolves, 4-1 over the Jazz, and upcoming the Warriors. Somebody made an awesome, I don't know if you saw it. Did you see the awesome like Avengers trailer that somebody made for the Western Conference Finals?
No.
It was pretty good, dude. It was like 3 minutes long.
My favorite basketball thing is right now? It's the Bleacher Report, the Game of Zones.
Game of Zones is fantastic.
It is so good. And they did a Suns one where it was like the House Sacramento Kings and House Suns were going to align. And then they're like, we're told, Vlade Divac's like, we're told you have a dragon. And then Dragon Bender's like, hello. Like, it's it is so funny. I love that thing. It is so, so good. It's better than the playoffs have been, to be honest with you.
I think my favorite one was the one where it was from the end of last year, where it's like the Celtics are saying to the Cavs, we're going to win this year, and you will no longer sit on that iron throne. And LeBron's like, didn't we do this last year? And they go to the year before, and it's the Hawks. Like, you will no longer be sitting there, LeBron. The House Hawks is going to take this down. Didn't we do this? Boom, it goes back to the Celtics. You know what I mean? and it just goes, like, all the way back. They're like, boom, 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 going back to – you know, all when was the last time they weren't in the finals with LeBron in the East? I think it was 2010 or something like that. It was the Boston triplets. It was KG, Ray Allen, and Paul Pierce, who are all now retired.
What would you rather? Okay, I'm going to have to phrase this different. Would you rather watch a game? Okay, let's say the Cavs are up by they're winning 3-2 against the Celtics.
All right.
But it's only game six. Would you rather watch game six of the Cavs and Celtics or Deadpool 2, which comes out next week?
I like this postseason has been so interesting for LeBron. Ugh. I really want to see Deadpool 2. But this postseason has been very interesting for LeBron because it looked like it was over. Like they were down 3-1 and he pulled them all the way back. And then they swept the Raptors. Dwayne Casey gets fired. Then LeBron's getting blamed for Dwayne Casey being fired. They're like, are you the reason that he got fired? He's like, come on, man. We just went out there and won the games that we played. So, no, I'm not the reason Dwayne Casey got fired.
But yes.
I mean, it might have been the last straw, but I don't think
he probably got him fired so then he could fire Tyronn Lue to bring in Dwayne Casey.
To bring in Dwayne Casey.
To the Cavs. But,
this is like some serious Game of Zones conspiracy stuff.
100%. Yeah, exactly.
If Dwayne Casey is the coach of the Cavs next year, that is going to be very, very surprising. And by the way, Budenholzer, who declined the Suns job earlier this offseason, now we know why, is because he's going to take that Raptors job. I mean, this was set in motion for a while. So
yeah,
obviously,
I love I love all the like behind the scenes stuff. Like we think we're like, oh, he's not interested. It's just like the tampering all over the place. He's like, well, I know that this dude's getting fired, so I'm clearly going to turn down this job because this, like, oh, it just happens that your job came up with a Raptors.
But he could have just been waiting to see if it happened.
Yeah. All right. Whatever. Give me a break. Give me a break. But no, Deadpool 2 was the answer. 100%.
So, okay. Rockets versus the Warriors. The Warriors are already favored.
How steamed up are you about Monday?
I'm very excited because the last time when we played the Warriors, I was like, this is not going to end well. And we lost the series 4-1. The Rockets
did. And you are thinking differently now.
I am because I think that this is a different team. This is a better team. Clint Capella is much better than he was. I mean,
Future Phoenix Sun, Clint Capella?
They're going to offer him the max. I know that. So possible future Phoenix Sun, Clint Capella.
Possibly
is much better player, and Chris Paul can put the team on his back when, you know, James Harden is sick, or he was sick the other day, and Chris Paul went off for 41 points. So, and Chris Paul is a great leader, you know, kind of like we were talking about that Adam Jones stuff to the Dodgers earlier. Like, Adam Jones has a lot of experience and stuff like that, and, you know, Chris Paul's been waiting for this opportunity, so he's hungry. He wants to go get it, and, you know, James Harden has taken another step this year, so I think they have a chance. If I was putting my own hard-earned dollars on it, I'd probably say Warriors win it 4-2.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
But LeBron and the Cavs are definitely beating this.
How excited are you for a Warriors-Cavs finals, which is 100% happening?
Not excited at all. I'll watch Deadpool 2 for every game, I think, unless it gets to Game 7, in which I'll watch Game 7.
But I feel like Deadpool 2 is going to be watchable to that extent.
Like you could watch it six times
instead of
watch another Cavs.
I mean, Josh Brolin just like murdered in all factions of the statement that role as Thanos. He just killed that. He's going to be awesome as Cable.
I mean, okay, so, but didn't people say the same stuff about when Jordan was playing and how amazing he was? And now we have the same thing in Thanos LeBron. LeBrontos, and people are getting bored with it. I mean, I think it's incredible what he's done, especially with now. He's like, I mean, they have Kevin Love, but would you rather have Kevin Love or Clint Capella on your team?
Clint Capella.
And Clint Capella's third in Houston. He's behind CP3 and Harden.
Well, in Phoenix, so, but yeah.
Houston for now. So, but what I guess what I'm saying is he's really doing it with not a great supporting cast. Whereas in Boston, it's nothing but a great supporting cast.
I feel like I lost my interest. Yeah, you know, you're right about that. I do feel like the thing I was rooting for was the 76ers. It was just because I, you know, Joel Embiid is my stepchild, and I absolutely love Ben Simmons. He's also in the family. So those two guys, like, I wanted to see that run happen. Boston's just tough to swallow just because it's just like,
oh, great. More good stuff for Boston. They don't have enough with the Red Sox and the Patriots.
I mean, I guess it would be really incredible for them to do it without Kyrie Irving. Like, that would be something that would be, like, otherworldly, of course. So, I mean, I guess at the end of the day.
And this is the hardest. I mean, Toronto was tough, but I think Boston is going to be the toughest for Cleveland to beat.
There's no way the Warriors don't win the championship.
Yeah, the Rockets can beat them.
I mean, the only thing we need to start caring about is the NBA draft lottery.
Seriously. Hey, that's on the 15th. It's coming up, man.
Is it really? I thought it used to be June.
No, the draft is in June.
Is that? Oh, my God, man.
I think the draft, it's either June or, like, really early July. So, but, yeah, the lottery's coming up. Which envelope is going to be frozen this year, do you think?
Yeah, well, I mean, clearly, when the Phoenix Suns get the third pick, you'll know that the fix is in because the Phoenix Suns need it. But, obviously, it's actually really interesting because if
it's
the Suns
June 21st, the draft.
Oh, okay. If the Suns get the first pick, which, you know, they think they've got like a 23% chance to do it.
They have the best chance.
Yeah, they've got the best chance. Low,
they still have the best chance. And our buddy Stalling is convinced they're finally going to get the first pick. And I just don't have the heart to tell him that
they're not
it's just not going
to
happen.
Yeah. Well, and one of the things that, you know, it kind of shows the, you know, the writing on the wall, if they're going to max contract out Clint Capella, which I think is the right move. That first pick probably goes because Igor, new head coach, he was the head coach of Luka Doncic. And Luka Doncic is a potential top pick. And that seems just like a match made in heaven. Unless, you know, the Suns wanted to surprise me and take Bagley. And you go out and you have Elfrid Payton, Devin Booker, Josh Jackson, Bagley, and Clint Capella. That's a crazy young athletic lineup that I would love to see, but it's the writing's on the wall that it's
I don't like
be
you automatically putting Clint Capella on the Suns. Let's just wait to see what happens.
He's going to turn down. He's not going to turn down a max. The Rockets can't offer him a max contract, can they?
I don't think they can, but they can offer him a lot still, and you know, a better situation. Chase that ring. You never know if he doesn't get it this year, he might get ring fever. Want to go get one. So,
I mean, maybe. I mean, I don't know. Man.
I mean, this NBA, if the Warriors like sweep the Rockets. Just go to Phoenix and take the money. You know what I mean? Like, no one's going to beat the Warriors. It's just ridiculous.
The Suns, but they could have a plan here because another rumored guy could be an Aaron Gordon. And if they can go and sell and they can bring in Aaron Gordon and Clint Capella.
Who else are they going to bring in? Adam Eaton after they bring in Aaron Gordon? Give me a break. What do they want Gordon for?
I'm just saying that's
ask
a rumor.
Ask Jonas Nader if they want Aaron Gordon. They don't want Aaron Gordon.
Well, you could ask him. You could call his phone because we gave his number out on our show. I wonder if he still gets text. I bet it's actually about time that he's going to start getting text because the draft is coming around. People got
questions. He's a big draft guy. We're going to have him on at some point.
We're going to have to do a show, the basketball show pretty soon here because what is it? I mean,
June 21st, like
Tuesday.
I said.
So Tuesday is going to be the pick. I mean, we're going to have to start doing early mock drafts for basketball.
Yeah.
The finals won't even be here.
No, especially if both these series go to seven games. That's why I like the NBA finals. People lose interest too because they're too long. I think they should do.
They're way too long, man.
Couldn't they do five games those first two series?
They need to do just like one play-in game and then do like baseball, and it's just like, you know, four on this division, four on that division, then the, you know, semifinals and finals.
So you're just cutting down the teams. You're not even like, I'm just talking about cutting down the games in the first and second round. Cut it down to, you know, maybe even if you want to go 3-5-7 and then seven for the finals, you
could
do that.
It's got to be quicker. It's just got to be quicker. Like, and I'm a big basketball guy. You know, we do
2-2-1-1-1 that drives me crazy. Like, just do 2-3-2.
Yeah, we do. We have one of a decently high ranked basketball podcast in this league, Fantasy Basketball Podcast. And we're kind of in the off season because it's the playoffs and there's no fantasy that needs to be covered because basketball is still going. Like, dude, they're going to pick who's picking first in the lottery before the draft. It's they got to cut it down. My interest level. Yeah, and I'm just unfortunately one of those people also because baseball and draft football and stuff, everything that's going on, I'm not going to really like hardcore invest
until the finals. The Suns are terrible. It sucks to watch, you know, a team in your division like the Warriors just destroy people constantly.
Though I do, you know, one of my favorite things though about playoffs, and this is any sport though, is the creation of like I use superstar lightly, but like a superstar excitement of a name, and Terry Rozier is that. Like, I love seeing the creation of somebody come out of nowhere. Not even necessarily nowhere. I'm using it all lightly, but I'm just saying, like, people, like, this guy is the talk of the town right now, and the playoffs built it.
He had that strip on Joel Embiid after that, all that smack talking. He had that strip, and then the layup on the other end against Embiid, and Embiid just left, and the Celtics were pissed. You got to pay some respect after that. I mean, LeBron did that a couple years ago, and people lost their mind. Now, what do you think about that whole thing? Like him just going right back to the locker room. Is that babyish, or is that the heat of the moment type of stuff?
I think it's kind of heat. I mean, it's probably a combination of all of it. I mean, I think I have some of that same mentality of just like, I can't do any of this. I got to get out of here.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I get it. But if you're going to talk all that smack, you're also not a big trash talker.
No, I'm definitely not a big trash
talker. But he is. He's going to sit there and talk all that smack and then leave immediately after the buzzer. You know, it's not... I don't know. You got to stay around. You got to stick around and stick it out. I mean, look, Donovan Mitchell got hurt against the Rockets after he went crazy. He outscored the Rockets in the third quarter of that last game that they played. And he came back out injured and then went and gave Chris Paul a big hug after the series. So, you know, you got to step your game up, Joel Embiid. Let's go.
Yeah. How about Kawhi Leonard showing up at a Dodgers game? Can't show up in San Antonio. Got enough for fake mustaches, but can't pay that. Nobody is more gone. It's unbelievable. Have you ever seen? I can't get over it the whole time. Just somebody just like, no.
I mean, is Kawhi Leonard like the Matt Harvey of the NBA? Like, this is crazy.
How can you not
show up for your teammates?
I was just talking with someone about a upcoming college pitcher, a very highly ranked college pitcher in the MLB draft. And I mean, we're talking like he's going to be 100% a first rounder, and how not liked this person is by his team, and what kind of cockiness.
His name is Josh Rosen.
Yeah, what the cockiness that's out there, but what also there is there's that element of, and we were talking then about a pitcher that's actually in baseball that had a similar thing, where they kind of take days off. You know, they don't press because they're. And same thing happens in college. Like these guys. They're saving it for the NFL for the money, which is okay. But Kawhi Leonard, it's like you're there and you gave up on your team. I just don't see how he can go to any team and any team is going to open up like with open arms, be like, oh my God, this is the best.
You don't think the Lakers would take him on?
No, I
think
they will take him. He'll be took. But I'm just saying, like, don't you think there's going to be a contingency in the locker room that's like, can we trust this dude? Like, this dude gave up on his team.
Like, Kawhi's never been a leader anyway. Like, whatever reason, you know, he might be a bit of a wuss. You know, like, he doesn't like putting up with Pop and all this stuff. So I think that's why he's out, too. So I think that if he goes to a situation and he can either be a quiet leader, kind of like Tim Duncan, or he can be... a background guy.
Well, I think he wants money. I think there was something I heard about advertising dollars and like, I don't know if it was Adidas or something like that, but there were Nike or whatever, but like he was kind of being held down by advertising dollars and, you know, him going to a place like LA, he might like 20 times his advertising dollars. You know, he doesn't even have his own
play
shoe.
For the Clippers.
He doesn't even have his own shoe. All these dudes have shoes.
Well, I mean, that's his fault then. Come on. Like, have your agent have someone make you a shoe. You're one of the best five players in the NBA.
Yeah.
You know, someone will make you a shoe. They made Stephon Marbury a shoe. He was never a top five player. Come on.
Marbury. Those things are like $35, too.
Well, that's great, too. Make them cheap. More people buy them. Yeah. And the reason he made them cheap is because he grew up as a poor kid and never got the expensive shoes. Parents couldn't afford them.
Did it the right way. All right, there you go. That's the episode of 3 hours of In This League right here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. You missed any of it? Go back and listen on demand. You can do it on the Spotify or iTunes. Hope you guys join us every week. You can listen on TuneIn and iHeart and all the places. Otherwise, catch up with us on Twitter, is it the Welsh Bogman Sports, and inthisleague.com. Have a great weekend. Happy Mother's Day to all the mothers. We
Happy
out.
Happy Mother's Day, the Welsh.